It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple has plans for even thinner devices, including the Apple Watch. WatchOS 11 removes the Siri watch face and offers new ringtones and notification sounds. Throwing your Apple Watch during an alert and a lion's heart rate monitored with an Apple Watch on its tongue. Plus reviews of Navabands and the Apple Watch Education Store. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 469, recorded Sunday, June 23rd, 2024. Hakuna Matata.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and still the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Is it getting hot, or is it just me?
It's not just you. Yeah, that's everywhere, right?
I mean, it is everywhere.
We're used to it down here. This is kind of normal weather for us this time of year, but rest of the country is really getting cooked right now.
Yeah it's just that 30-second stretch between your car and wherever you're going. Holy mackerel.
You gotta go quick. You know, it's real helpful with the watch. You can, at least with the weather and all that, you can see what the UV index is.
So, oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You can tell the safe hours, right?
That's a good idea. Yeah, turn that on.
Exactly. It's like, okay, I'm not going to go out and do any yard work unless it's like early, early in the morning, or even in the evening, it's still pretty darn hot.
Yep.
You know, but anyway.
It's warm.
Chris, unfortunately, couldn't be with us today, but hopefully he'll be back with us next show. So I don't know about you, but I suddenly feel like throwing my watch on the floor. I don't know why. we'll talk about that later in the news. I thought that was just so funny. Little teaser there. I meant to ask you, have you done much with smart home devices, you know, in HomeKit?
As much as I can. I think I've drawn the line at door locks. I think the max was like the garage. Okay. Door locks, because my doors don't close well. But beyond that, you know, yes. they have to close perfectly for the thing to work, right?
Oh, tell me about it. I've fought with that. Let me tell you. I have, because I've had different models over the years.
Yeah.
And it seems like my back door just kept warping, you know.
Yeah.
Certain times of the year, it just wouldn't close right, and
yeah,
would stick and all of that. Anyway, I've gone very deep into the rabbit hole now.
Oh.
As I'm trying to upgrade things around my house, and I have this obsession now with making everything HomeKit compatible.
Yeah.
Right. So I can see everything in one app.
Yeah.
And that has led me down the path to the dark side, I think. I am practicing what I consider some sort of strange magic to make things work with HomeKit.
Oh, wow.
I have this device. It's called, and I'll do a whole review on this later, even more detail. Yeah. It's a device called Hoobs, H-O-O-B-S.
Oh, is that different from the other thing that you had?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I think it stands for Home Out of Box. HomeKit out of box or something. Anyway.
Okay.
Or HomeBridge or anyway. Anyway, this box, it somehow makes HomeKit see things it normally wouldn't.
Oh, wow.
And I made the mistake of watching a video about it, and I said, hey, I can do that. So I'm still getting used to it, how it all works. But again, in a future show, I'll review this, everything here. But I had the most amazing... I don't call it like a revelation or experience yesterday. I was in the backyard, and speaking of hot, I was looking at some of the plants out there, and I'm like, you know, those things need to be watered, you know, and more than my normal sprinkler system. But I wondered, you know, if this was something, it's one of those things where I've done so many upgrades and things, I hadn't tested everything. I wasn't sure if something would work.
Yeah.
So I tried it out and it on my watch, and it actually worked. I was able to turn on and turn off any sprinkler, specific sprinkler, with my watch.
Yeah.
Just by asking so-and-so to do it.
Oh, wow. Is that the Recu?
No.
No.
No. Oh, wow. This is my,
we have something else.
This is my old Rainbird.
Rainbird.
Fairly dumb thing that only works with its own app.
Oh,
but like I said, kind of able to get it to do this. And then I was able to view live video of my Ring cameras on my watch through HomeKit.
Oh, wow.
And it blew me away. I was like, I won't give any more details than that. Like I said, I'm going to review some of this stuff coming up. But I am loving these newfound abilities in HomeKit.
The hoob,
and, Yeah, and the dark force magic of this little small white box that I plugged into my network. It is a lot of fun when it actually works, but it's kind of crazy what it can do.
It works with pretty much everything out there, huh? Wow.
It's getting to that point, you know, but I was very adamant that any new devices I got would have to be HomeKit compatible out of the box.
Yeah. No, that's a good approach.
Yeah, but to do some of that stuff on my watch now is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right. Why don't we dive into the news here? Speaking of fun new features, there's apparently, this was from 9to5Mac, we have a list of, you know, we got all excited about the stuff at WWDC, right? Mm-hmm. A few weeks back, all the new features coming this fall. Well, apparently, not so fast. Some of them won't be available till iOS 18.1 or later.
Mm-hmm.
And by later, I mean 2025, next year. So some of the stuff they showed won't be coming until later. It was kind of confusing as to what would be here in the fall and what we'll have to wait for. So, and 9to5Mac did this list. First of all, let's talk about what won't arrive until later. The new so-and-so's on-screen awareness and in-app actions. We're going to have to wait on those. So that's kind of cool because those were really – that was probably one of the bigger things they announced that I was excited about. But unfortunately, going to have to wait. Like I say, I'm running the betas. It's not there.
The interfaces, they didn't split that. It's all in one.
It hasn't changed. She's as dumb as ever.
Great.
Yeah. So that has not changed. But because I'm really looking forward to the idea of combining, you know, make the kind of the idea that she would know what you were doing and based your question to your request based on what you were doing, you know, that sort of intelligence, just none of that's going to be there for a while. So we're going to have to wait. The other thing was Apple Mail, that whole kind of auto categorization that they did, they showed.
Yeah.
All of those and most of those features aren't going to arrive until much later.
Mm-hmm.
So that, yeah, that's
AI driven too. I mean,
it is. Yeah. A lot of this stuff is AI driven. On the Vision Pro, there's a number of things. Like, man, I go through this list. It's like everything they announced for the Vision Pro, the upgraded virtual display, the multi-view, when you can do like up to five different games at the same time on the screen, and the spatial video editing, all of that has been bumped or is not scheduled for a while. And then this I thought was interesting. They said non-beta versions of Apple Intelligence. So when it does arrive this fall, what is there for Apple Intelligence is in beta. So even when they release it, it's not the full release yet.
Yeah.
And that will take time to get out of beta, which makes sense. But we were kind of hoping that would be a little more baked. This is kind of disappointing. The drag and drop from your iPhone to your Mac.
Yeah, the phone mirroring. That's a big one.
You can still mirror it. You just can't exchange files yet. So, and that was going to be kind of cool because I don't know about you, but AirDrop is kind of sometimes works, sometimes doesn't for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of picky.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one also kind of sad to see, not quite there yet. The home app improvements. Two of the big features was adding robot vacuum cleaners, and the ability to view your home electricity use inside the app. Now that is there when I looked at it, but you have to be a customer of PG&E.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
To use it right now. So I think they're the only ones signed on.
Okay.
And this future use will be, I guess, adding more providers later. Yeah. Because it is there. You can set it up and link your account, if you will, to it.
Okay.
So and it's that's going like, to be amazing to be able to see your electricity usage day by day, right?
I wonder if, well, it doesn't require equipment outside or
is it? I don't know how it's working.
The meter.
Unless it's just sending the data they get from the provider to HomeKit.
Yeah, well.
I guess it comes from your meter. I don't know how they're doing that without a device. I know there's devices on the market you can buy and hook up that will do that, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how they plan on doing this. There is a, and I don't know if you have it on your HomeKit, but there is a clean energy thing.
No, there is? No, yeah, I haven't seen it.
It says grid forecast for where I live, my city here, and it tells me when time of day, right?
Yeah.
That you'll have clean energy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I have never seen that. Okay, yeah.
So when they say cleaner in quotes, it's those times available energy sources may have a lower carbon emissions.
Yeah, it's a little higher demand.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be less clean. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I don't know how that affects what you do, but it's there. And that's it. So, you know, we're not getting everything all at once. It's going to be more of a slower rollout, which I thought it would be. There's so many new things.
Yeah, I hope they don't air power any of these.
These features?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that danger, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be in beta for a while, considering, you know, they're going to train the model and make sure that it's not, like, you know, hallucinating and giving you some weird things. So, yeah, turn off the backyard lights and everything, and the neighborhood goes down. Oh, you mean just your house.
Yeah, not remove you from the grid. Wait a minute. Yeah, we got to be careful. You go too far with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. No, so I think we'll, I don't know. They do this kind of every year, though, with certain features, don't they? Some they just get put off. Some get put off almost until next year's WWDC. They get just under the wire and say, yeah, we did it before the next one. But, all right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. What else is going on? This was a question we had last show, this whole deal Apple's doing with OpenAI.
Yeah.
Who's paying who?
Right.
Right. Because we know Google pays Apple billions of dollars to make that the default search engine on the iPhone. Right. Mm-hmm, that's the deal. Now, this is a report from Bloomberg saying that Apple isn't paying OpenAI, nor is OpenAI paying Apple. The current arrangement provides exposure to OpenAI ChatGPT to millions of users who want access, a mutually beneficial arrangement for now. Mm-hmm. It could change into a revenue share deal in the future. That must have been an interesting meeting, right?
Well, yeah.
Talking about numbers and like, no, we're not going to exchange any money here. Mm-hmm. It's a mutual partnership.
Which has me scratching my head. I'm just like, what are you giving? Like, is it just a snippet of data in terms of the prompt that ChatGPT is now, you know, saying, oh, these are the questions coming from Apple users. So they're going to get something. When something's free, the information is what's being exchanged, is what I figured.
Yeah, possibly. But I think maybe Apple pitched it as, if you were to reach these millions of people, it would cost you this amount of money to do it. Mm-hmm. Just let us use it, and you don't have to pay that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just kind of makes sense what the value of it is, right?
Yeah.
To each side, what is the value? And right now it's mutual.
Yeah. User base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a mutual assured destruction of our own intelligence. Is what it is. MAD, right? Isn't that what they call it? MAD?
Yeah, yeah. Mutual assured destruction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what this mutual partnership is.
Yeah. What's interesting is the different layers of Apple intelligence and how it's going to leverage OpenAI only for the last mile, which is good. The mm-hmm. middle layer where they're using their own servers and everything like that, that's going to be interesting to understand how that all works.
Do you think Apple is going to make its own? Is it? I mean, I don't. I'm still not clear how the whole on device thing works.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, losing my voice here already. It's early in the show, but I'm not sure if they have their own version of Chat.
They do.
They do.
They have a smaller version, so each of the models get larger and larger with the amount of data they have.
Okay.
And so there's a small on device. One that requires, you know, the M4 chip or higher, or whatever that might be.
Right.
That does, you know, a little basic stuff. But then if it needs a more compute, it'll reach out to their Apple Cloud compute and then process it there. And if that can't answer the question, it'll combine that prompt. And that's when it goes and asks you, hey, do you mind if we send this out to OpenAI? And you acknowledge it. And then it goes and fetches it and says, okay, cool. Well, we got this answer from OpenAI, ... We don't, you know, this could be all fake news.
Because we read some articles before where Apple made deals with different content companies to train AI, right? Stock,
right.
Photo places, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
What are they? I just wonder, they can't use, or can they, Chat GPT's or OpenAI's library to train their own, can they?
They can. I believe that's the open part of OpenAI.
But wouldn't that compromise Apple's
security? Well, no, it's just a data set. I mean, the thing is.
But yeah, but if it's wrong, is what I'm saying. If you get bad data, then it becomes.
Right.
Then you get a lot of hallucinations and false information and all that stuff.
Yeah. If it's bad data, it's bad data. Or if it's just connecting the dots. I mean, it's just trying to find and guess the next word. Yeah. But if it's you kind of have to, there's a variety of ways that they're trying to tune it. But in most cases, it's trying to give you the answer that you think is going to be the best answer. And usually it's right. Based upon the information it does have. So like you said, if it is somebody wrote like some bogus article or something like that, it might consider that as a part of the response. So.
Yeah. And it's trust, right? Because I notice now, I've said that before, the biggest thing here is trust. Do you mm-hmm. trust what it's doing, whether it's done on device through Apple servers or all the way out into the open world? How much do you trust that data? When I search Google now, the top thing I get is kind of an AI response, right?
Yeah.
Like how to do something. How do I do this? And there's a list. Do you trust it yet?
Yeah.
Is giving me false steps to fix this problem or not? You know?
Right, right.
I have that question already. So that's a big hurdle for Apple to get over.
Yeah. And I think that we just said, It's an interesting approach. I mean, it depends on what you're doing. And if you're doing certain things that the on-device model can handle, if you're asking how to do something, I might have to reach out. If you're asking why you have to do something, it has to connect more dots. If you're asking, you know, what something is, a definition, it can probably do that. But like processing an image, and creating those new animojis and all that stuff that it wants they want to do, that's probably going to require that compute cloud that they put together. That's not going to run locally.
Right. Yeah. But I just think the huge hurdle for Apple is trust.
It is.
They do have an advantage there, I think.
It's yet to be, it's TBD, right? I mean, the thing is everybody trusts Google to a certain extent, and then they started telling people to you know, add glue to their pasta to make it a little bit more thicker or whatever it is. It's some odd stuff, you know. So they're gonna have their missteps here and there too. So I wonder whether or not they are gonna go through a process where they're gonna vet the responses for a certain period of time. That's why it's in beta. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know.
You think there should be some sort of icon or something on an answer or a response to a request that is like certified or, you know.
Yeah, or checked. Certified it's, organic. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you would think, right? It's just right. Right now, it's still the kind of the same thing where there's the analog where you have to click on the references and say, hey, this mm-hmm. is where I got my answer from. You click on it and find out whether or not you trust it.
That's more work.
It's more work.
I just want the answer.
I have found myself looking at the references board. Oh, that's good. It's finding the websites that it's gotten this information from. But like you said, yeah. if the data is poisoned, it's no good.
Right. Yeah. Gosh, what a strange few years we have coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. There was a weird article that said, AI is going to take over in like 10 years or something like that. It's going to be smarter, 10,000 times smarter than a human. I don't know which human, but.
which human? And and again, do you trust it at that point? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay.
It's definitely an Alice in Wonderland kind of thing here.
It is. It is. It really is. We'll keep an eye on it. But yeah, I guess enjoy the next 6 months before this thing hits your phone. When you can live in pretty much, you know, ignorant bliss as far as your phone is concerned, because it's going to get smarter and you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of things not working, Apple has discontinued Apple Pay Later service. They just launched it in October.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And now it's gone. Mm. Now, if you have an existing Apple Pay Later loan, you're going to, you know, you'll still be able to pay it off and manage it through the wallet app. Mm. But it. It's strange. What they're switching to is that customers will be able to access installment loans through their credit and debit cards, with that kind of change coming to Apple Pay this fall. Mm. So Apple is pretty much taking that service and farming it out to the banks, to the lenders, to do with Apple not being really involved, which. For me, when this came out, I thought it was kind of weird for Apple to be doing this. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they've reevaluated it and said, we don't want to be in the loan business like this.
Yeah, I thought it was aligned with the Goldman Sachs relationship, but, you know, with this
it could be.
Happening. Yeah, I mean,
since that partnership is going to be switching, maybe this is part of their, you know, they have to divest themselves of pieces of it first,
right?
Before they can find a new partner, that's one less thing they have to set up, right? With a future bank.
Yeah.
So it could be that, or it could simply be this is maybe a better way to go. Than handling the credit it that card. Way. So
that makes sense.
So what you could do with it was you could make 4 equal payments over a 6-week period with no interest or fees. On a purchase you make with Apple Pay. But it had to be between $75 and $1,000. So there was a limit on it. And each transaction would be a separate loan application and approval. Wow.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, that's like kind of, we have the iPhone upgrade program, which is basically getting a loan every time.
Yeah.
And you have to get approval every time you do it. That's once a year. Imagine having to do that for purchases that you make. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Apple Pawn.
Apple right. Pawn?
Apple Layaway Plan. That's what it was.
They could put a little section in the stores, right? Little pawn shop. Apple Pawn. I like that. That's funny. If you enjoyed that service, it's gone. I think it's already gone. I don't think they're like saying when it's going to happen. It's done.
Yeah.
It's toast. But Apple has not been afraid to just kill stuff lately, isn't it? this has been the year of let's get rid of it for Apple, right? Mm. The car, gone, right? The micro LED for watches, gone. You know, just like they're just pulling the plug on all this stuff that isn't quite working. Interesting. Yeah. Different approach.
Yeah, they're not terribly concerned about customer backlash right now. So
no, they're not. But a lot of this stuff used to be done behind the scenes. So it was new and upcoming products got killed all the time. But once it was released, it was kind of a rare thing for them just to cut it like that. Moving on. Let's see. Okay, new products. A lot of rumors on this, a lot of actually from two different sources, so it's probably true that Apple is planning a redesigned iPhone, MacBook Pro, and Apple Watch that are significantly thinner. Okay, so this would follow the recent release of the M4 iPad Pro, which was the thinnest product Apple had ever made, thinner than the iPod Nano. So now, apparently in the works, is to put that same treatment to the phone, the watch, and the MacBook Pro. And this is from Mark Gurman at Bloomberg. He said it's the beginning of a new class of Apple devices, where the goal of the products is to be the thinnest and lightest in their categories. This is an old goal, right? This is what the track they were on a long time ago when Steve Jobs was around. Every single release was thinner, smaller, right?
Yeah.
Removing ports, removing stuff just to make it thinner and do all that. They kind of got away from it for a while, and some stuff actually got bigger. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like they're going back to this. And I think it may just be because of technology is allowing them to do it.
There's another article that we're talking about, but isn't the biggest component in here the battery? In anything?
Yes. Yeah. We'll get to that. That's a future thing too that could make this even more. You know, the problem though, and although they addressed it with the iPad Pro, and it is part of the reason I felt good about buying it, if you make it too thin, it becomes bendable.
Fragile? Yeah.
Yes, fragile. Exactly. but they addressed it with the iPad Pro by showing you the reinforcement that they put in it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's no more bendable than any other iPad, but it is much thinner. But you can reach a point where it's just a piece of glass, right?
Yeah. What's the point? I mean, yeah. What is the point? Actually, it's just because you can.
I guess. Or does it make the experience better?
I don't know. After a certain period of time, it's just a flat piece of glass.
Right. Yeah. Right. At that point, then you want to make it foldable.
Yeah, foldable, bendable.
Right. Yeah. Don't make it not a bug but a feature. Make it bendable.
Wrap it around things. Yeah.
Yeah. Which other companies have already done. Quite a bit of.
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting. Mark Gurman also mentioned the Apple Watch 10 revamp, which is supposed to be the biggest overhaul yet to the device's design. But we don't know if that was simply for one particular model or if that goes for all the watches that come out, you know? Mm. That's kind of what I'm thinking they're going to do is they're going to revamp the new Apple Watches that will be thinner and all that good stuff. But then there's going to be a separate one that is the Apple Watch 10. It's like a special edition that will have new magnetic band connectors and some other features, right? Mm-hmm. Making it unique. That's what I think may happen there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
Now, Ming-Chi Kuo says also that the Apple Watch Series 10 is going to feature a larger display and thinner chassis, approaching the ultra screen size. Okay. He said it will increase from the current 41 and 45 to about 45 and 49, respectively. So that's a big jump from the Series 9. That's going to be interesting. He's also said that the Ultra will still be a bit bulkier overall. Not much changed there. Simply because of the design of it, I guess.
Yeah, it's intended to be that kind of
right now. But they're also rugged. Saying that the slimmer screen bezel could offset some of the size increase, but not that much. So there's definitely going to be something else. It's going to be a bigger actual watch, bigger in size. Very, very interesting to see what happens there. I think we're going to get quite the overhaul with the Apple Watch lineup this year.
Yep. Going to be back in the stores.
Well, I got to give you some reason to buy a new one, right?
Oh, yeah. It'll be cool. I'm pretty sure.
It will. But I just wonder, you know, now that's actually a product. The Apple Watch is something I think making thinner would be a great goal. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Less heavy on your wrist, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's besides the battery, it's the sensors on the watch.
Right. There's a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that battery thing for real quick.
Yeah.
This is a breakthrough. It's a ceramic battery that they say can be a game changer for the Apple Watch battery life. It's a company called TDK, and they announced their newest innovation for CiraCharge solid state batteries. Think of that. That kind of blows my mind, just that phrase, solid state batteries. They developed a ceramic material with an energy density 100 times greater than the conventional batteries. The new ceramic battery targets wearable devices like smartwatches, wireless earphones, and hearing aids. Yeah.
That's cool.
And the most amazing part of this is TDK is an Apple supplier. So, yeah, hello, Apple Watch, AirPods in the future. Mm-hmm. Definitely going to be in there. And this thing is super thin. Obviously, we don't know if it would be coming out anytime soon. They just started mass production of these, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they note that the new ceramic batteries are intended for use in devices that come in direct contact with human skin. Not sure how the battery affects that, but...
Well... You know, when they expand.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
But the image here, I'll put a link in the show notes to this article. They're holding it with a pair of tweezers, a little square. It's like a very wafer thin nothing. How is that a battery? That's crazy.
Yeah. There's a lot of smart people out there.
So it's called a ceramic battery. Does that mean... that Apple's bringing back the ceramic watch?
Bringing back the ceramic. I would hope so. There's a lot of stuff going on with ceramic.
Yeah, it's just going to be a little different, isn't it?
The whole case becomes a battery. Look at that.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah, it's built in.
But exciting. Also the AirPods.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and now the numbers. Let me run the numbers here real quick because I did some math here. They took the volume of current batteries, energy content with the TDK battery, comparison to current battery and battery life improvement. Here's what they came up with. Current battery life is 18 hours. They're saying with this, you could get potentially 30.4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot.
But the article, the writer used GPT to do that, by the way.
They did. FYI. They noted it at the end of the article. They didn't double check their math, so I don't know if that's true, but it sounds like it could be because it's theoretical, right? Because we don't know what this thing actually is yet. This is all theory until it becomes a real product. But exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm picturing a future Apple Watch that is maybe half the thickness of what the watch is right now.
Yeah.
Half. As thick, but still doing the same things and giving you longer battery life.
Yeah. What's interesting here is the mention around the EU regulations and how they were requiring that these devices have like change batteries that you can change out.
Yes.
So That's kind of cool. Potentially replacing the battery yourself. Just swapping it out,
Apple
just like
will, they won't do that.
a.
Because once you open the watch, all kinds of damage can happen.
Well, yeah, well.
Unless it's like a SIM card,
Maybe
right?
it's in the band.
Maybe it's in the
Yeah.
band, but
Maybe
I
it's in a
like,
SIM card. It could be
it's
a
like a,
SIM card. You're right.
yeah,
Yeah.
push a little hole in the side and it
Yeah,
slides
side.
out and you put in the, take out the
Nice.
old one, put in a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Apple.
That's
You can
doable. Totally.
do that. That's funny. Okay, I've had the beta for a while
Yeah.
and playing around with it, and I discovered this, and then I found an article that talked about it. But for the first time, you can change your Apple Watch ringtone. Is that not crazy? They never mentioned it in the WWDC in the conference
Yeah,
at
no, they
all
didn't. Yeah. Yeah.
during the keynote. I know they had a lot of other stuff to talk about, but you now have a choice of eight different ringtones. And I want me to play them for you here real quick.
Let's do it.
See what you think here. Let me get to sounds and haptics here. Okay, ringtones. Right now, this is the default one, which I think is the one everybody has, right? Right?
Yep.
For your ringtone. Okay. Here's another one called Focus.
Cool.
Okay. The one called Jingle.
No, I thought that was the default.
It might be.
Okay.
Well, no, on my watch it says default is Pebbles, but
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
okay. And then here's one I like. It's called Nighthawk. Isn't that
Yeah.
great? I love that. Can you hear them okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, here's one called Transmit. It's one called Twirl. Pretty complex there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one called Wind Up. That would drive me nuts. I'd have to answer that immediately or silence it. There's one called, oh, it keeps going.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's nuts. Okay, there's one called Wonder.
Yeah, that can wake you up in the mornings.
Yeah. Well, it's your ringtone, though. That's somebody calling you.
Yeah.
And then let's see, what else do we have here? Text tone. Okay, so you can use this for text messages, email, calendar alerts, reminders, and regular notifications. So resonate is the default, right? We've all heard that. There's one called brilliant. One called cheer, flutter.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Let me do that again. globe. That's just a different version of resonate, isn't it? Moment. Okay.
Record there.
Yep. Scoop. Let's see. Timekeeper.
It
And
don't.
then Tinker.
Wow.
Yeah. What's your favorite on that? Let's see. That was a brilliant. I like that one. That's kind of
Oh, that's
cool.
nice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
very, it's very calm for an alert, right? A notification. It
Yeah.
doesn't, I'm gonna think I'm gonna leave it on that one. So anyway, you can set them different ones for all those things. Your new mail, calendar, reminder, default. You got a lot of choices now, which is, how did it take us this long to get this?
I don't know. Somebody took probably 2 years to do this. So,
Maybe. Or it's like the calculator. They just never got around to it, right?
yeah.
So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
So look forward to that if you get the public beta, or if you this fall when everybody can get a hold of watchOS 11. Oh, and there was one more thing I read an article about. Sorry, I didn't put it in the notes here. That somebody discovered, and they don't know how long it's been there, but
Right.
in shifting to what is it? What is the name of it when you when things change?
The night mode one?
Yes. Night mode. Yeah, change color on the screen, right? The blues and the whatever at night versus during the day. Is that night mode?
Night shift.
Thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
That is available on the watch. But there is no setting to toggle on or off anywhere. There's no documentation for it. You can only invoke it by using so-and-so.
Yep. Hidden feature.
A very hidden feature, and no one knows for how long it's been there. So, and that may be something that they just add to the settings so you can turn it on and off.
Probably.
But somehow it's already there, or it's a mistake. And they're going to discover it, and they're just going to kill it.
someone checked in a branch.
So we'll see what happens with that. Another change here in watchOS 11 is that the Siri face on the Apple Watch, that face has been removed. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a choice. And they switch or add a lot, you know, change up or add watch faces over time. Have you ever heard of them removing a face before?
They quietly go away, don't they?
I don't know that I can think of any that have gone away.
Oh, really?
I don't know. They're almost all there.
I haven't checked that in a long time.
But it's been replaced with the smart stack, which widgets will appear based on time, location, and more, which the old Siri face did some of that.
Right.
Live activities. Could never do that before. Now those are live in the smart stack. The smart stack can surface a Shazam widget when nearby music is detected, so it automatically pops up there. Distance, training load, photos, and weather alert widgets are now included. But another interesting thing is they're saying that double tap, the gesture for summoning the smart stack, never really worked on the Siri face. And now it does quite well. That if I double tap, I scroll through every one of them perfectly in a row. What I don't see here is how I can tell it what to put in that stack.
Yeah, it's supposed to be smart.
So there's no way I can, but there's, I use, what did we call it before? There's so many changes. I'm losing my mind here. where you could put whatever you wanted in there. Remember? You could say, I want this.
Oh, you mean the dock thing?
The dock thing, yes. That's gone, right?
Yeah, no, I thought you could keep on scrolling up and...
No.
That's different.
No, it doesn't. You keep... Let's see, if you keep scrolling up...
Up. That's what you can change now. On any face, you scroll upward, and it shows you those cards.
Yeah, but that's still the smart stack, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can choose apps that you can add to it.
Are you running the beta?
No.
Okay.
Is that gone?
Because on the beta, no, you can't from any app just scroll up and get that.
Oh, from any watch face, you mean?
Oh, from any watch face, yes.
From watch face, yeah.
Yeah, any watch face, you can do that, but it's the same set. And at the bottom, there's a row of three, like music, workout, and text messages. Uh-huh. And then there's a last button that says all apps, and you choose that, but that just takes you to all your apps. So, I mean, I want to be able to put a particular app in that stack.
If you press and hold on one of the tiles, it should allow you to choose other apps that you add to the
stack. I can pin it, or I can delete it.
Well, no, that's swiping. If you press and hold, keep your finger on it. And it should pop up a little plus sign on top.
No.
Oh, there it is.
Sorry, I didn't scroll far enough. Sorry. There it is. Okay, it's hidden.
There it be.
Featured. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Why did I not? Because it was new. I didn't think you could still do that. I forgot to scroll up. See, with this stack, I'm always scrolling forward.
Yeah.
Never backwards, right? Okay, let's see. So I could put in there. I don't see it.
I don't have a lot of stuff in here.
No, but I don't see Bluetooth or even settings. Settings or Bluetooth?
No, no settings. No settings. No settings for you.
That's what I want. I want a shortcut to my settings. Okay, never mind. But I've got other weird stuff in here. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's an interesting set of stuff here. Oh, and I go drop in the weather. I think I have that already, but okay. Well, yeah, I do.
What's weird, though, is with this new smart sack, it's been so good, I haven't even thought about changing things until the other day. It was like, how do I add one particular thing, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's what you want.
Yeah, it's exactly what I want.
Just tell me.
Yeah. And then you can pin something to the top, so it's always there.
Right.
Right. Okay. There you go. A live demo in audio only. So exciting. Anyway. So no more Siri watch face. What else? Okay. We had talked, in the past a number of stories when the watch first came out, actually, that tattoos cause a problem if they're on your wrist with the Apple Watch reading that it's actually awake, right? That it's on your wrist.
Right.
I've never heard of this before, but somebody did it. A man got his tattoo removed in a circle area just where the watch would touch so that it wouldn't block the Apple Watch. This was a cosmetic nurse who showed one client do this. It was on a TikTok. So removing a tattoo for Apple Watch use. She removed a circular portion of their wrist. I guess they laser it off, you know, like erasing it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild to see anyway. But that way they could use the Apple Watch. Now, there's a lot of conflicting information here because some people say, yeah, I have that problem. Mm-hmm. And others who say, no, I have it on both. I have it completely covered with tattoos. I have no problem with the Apple Watch. So I guess it varies by person, right?
I think it depends on the tattoo. If it's like varying dark and light patterns, then I can see that being an issue for the detection. But if it's like one solid color, whatever it is, that probably will work.
So you saw the video, right?
Yeah.
How does that not hurt?
Which is amazing.
How does that not hurt?
Local anesthesia.
It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
There was like smoke coming off that thing, wasn't there? I mean, ouch.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was...
That's some dedication, I'll tell you.
I mean, pretty wild. Yeah, you got to be an Apple fan to do that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I don't know how much it costs. I mean, does it cost more to like just not buy the watch or
have it laser removed?
Right.
I mean, I guess you figured I'll always have my watch on.
Exactly.
I don't see the bottom. I don't see the top of my wrist on my left hand very often.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, first time I've heard of that. Very interesting. Yep. Okay. Moving on. I love this story. This is so funny. This was an Australian wildlife veterinarian, Dr. Chloe Booting, posted a video of an anesthetized lion with an Apple Watch strapped to its tongue to monitor the lion's heart rate. That is crazy.
Yeah.
But apparently it works.
Yeah. Now do pulse ox.
Yes. You know what would be really bad? If you suddenly got a text alert and the vibration of the watch and it woke up. and there goes the watch, right? Gone. That's crazy.
Wow, they got that watch wrapped around the tongue pretty good there.
It is. This is kind of a joke that writes itself, but why did they use an Apple Watch to do this? Because Apple has a lion's share of the market. Okay. <Ba-dum-tsh>. man, what is that? Hakuna Matata, right? Hakuna Matata. Oh, that is the craziest thing. We've seen them around the leg or paws of dogs before when it first came out.
Right,
the gold one, that rich Chinese guy put them on his dog. But I've never seen it on a creature like that. And if you click on that video, you can hear the lion snoring, which is just nuts. Now, they also said they used it on an elephant to get to monitor the heart rate by taping it, the watch, to their ears.
Mm-hmm. Right on the vein. Something. Yeah.
Now, would you use an Ultra for that, or just, I think it's a regular watch there.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd want to use the Ultra. It's a little more durable. Yeah.
I don't think it'll withstand it either way. But okay.
And that just looks like a regular, I can't tell what kind of band that is.
Yeah, like one of the sports ones. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the leather loop, that's for sure. Okay.
Just the flubber band.
Yep. Flubber. Okay. Also, there's some funny stuff this week. Stephen Colbert. This was the best response to Apple Intelligence when it was announced. Mm. He did a little thing in his bit. He says he had some reservations about it, particularly the invasiveness of certain new features. He says, among other things, after the next update, your Apple Watch will monitor your vitals to guess whether or not you've been drinking alcohol before going to bed. He says, no, you won't, Apple Watch. You already bother me enough with your time to stand, to get some steps, to meditate. Why do you think I drink? It's because of you. Hey, Siri, I drink because of you. He's right. You do get a lot of notifications. It can drive you to drink, but that's pretty funny. Great insight. Yeah. He's a big fan of the watch.
Oh, yeah, he got it rarely.
I wish we had a way to contact him and get him on the show.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody out there knows him.
Because I think he would do it.
Oh, you certainly.
Yeah. He a quick little guest spot. He loves podcasts. Yeah. He loves the Apple Watch. I mean, it's a natural, but.
Yeah. We'll just do an AI version of Colbert to join us.
Okay, yeah. We'll do that. That'll work. There's enough to train it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then finally here, what we mentioned at the beginning of the show. Sometimes your Apple Watch fails, and according to Steven Spielberg's example, you just have to throw it. So this was last Saturday. Spielberg was speaking at the Tribeca Festival in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the film The Sugarland Express. And in the middle of his talk, when he was up there, he was interrupted by his Apple Watch with a message that read, "It looks like you've taken a hard fall." Spielberg jokingly said, "I'm not going to press the SOS button," before throwing it on the ground.
He took it off and threw it.
Threw it on the ground. He said, "I'll pick it up later." He said, and only to retrieve it a few minutes later when it started issuing some sort of distress signal. So what's funny is when he threw it on the ground, it went off again. And really thought he had another hard fall. That's too funny. Why he didn't just say, "I'm okay," tap on that, I don't know. But
yeah.
He was kind of flustered, I guess. It was in the middle of his speech.
It's like 911 and all of his friends and everybody who was notified.
Oh, I know.
All these things.
Suddenly in the papers, it says Spielberg hospitalized with a hard fall. Sugarland Express. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not.
It's with Goldie Hawn. Mm. And it's kind of this what is it? With her son or daughter or something, a chase from the police through Sugarland. It was filmed here in Sugarland.
Yeah.
Locally. Yeah. Yeah. It was one of his first big films. This is
1974. Wow.
Yeah. This is before Jaws and all the fame that he got from that. So it's one of his early films. Well, obviously 50 years ago, which is crazy.
Based on a real life incident, took place in 1969.
Yeah.
Thanks, AI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Is that true? I don't know. That may not be true, but I think it is. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. So, you know what I think it is? Is that when that happens, is the "I'm okay" immediately on the screen, or do you have to scroll to tap that?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
That's only happened to me once, where a bike fell on me.
Okay.
Hit my arm.
I've had it happen a few false times. Like, I didn't fall, but I may have moved my arm in such a way that it thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it has only happened to me once when I actually did trip and fall.
I wonder what that motion is. They should probably investigate that.
Yeah, it's quite, I think it's a combination of things.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it'd be going off all the time.
Right.
So but he what must did have been do?
Swinging his hands, yeah.
I mean, well, he's swinging his arms when he got up on stage or something. I don't know what he did, but...
Yeah. Maybe he's part Italian. I don't know.
Yeah, he's speaking with his hands. I don't know. Well, in the photo, he is speaking with his hands, and I can't tell if the watch is on there or not. Of course, I don't even know if that photo is from the actual event.
Right. I didn't say which type of watch he had, right? Which?
No. No, it did not.
Yeah. None of us are throwing our watches around.
Yeah, I wouldn't throw it down on the ground if that happened. Of course, he thought maybe that would just get rid of it, but no.
It's a countdown. He doesn't trust it. It's about to blow up or something.
Yeah, can you imagine if he completely ignored it and, like, emergency services showed up at the event?
Yeah. We don't know if they did, actually.
So. Yeah, they didn't say. Didn't say if they did. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else in the news? No.
Actually, there was one thing about, what is it? AI is not coming to the EU, right? Did you catch that article? Because of the fact that there's some regulations around that?
Yeah. I did see something about that. Apple. Yeah. No, Apple has stated that they won't be giving those features to the EU.
Yeah.
Because of the regulations, the EU has responded saying, no, there's nothing in those regulations that would stop you from doing that.
Okay.
So this is a battle that Apple has been fighting with the EU. I think it could be a little of both.
Oh, interesting.
It could be them saying, we just don't want to mess around with that anymore with you. You're too much trouble.
Mm.
You're more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah.
So they're going to preemptively not do it. Or they're just doing that to build up public pressure to force the EU to change some things.
Yeah, perhaps.
In their favor. So who knows?
Yeah. There's probably some features. I would imagine it depends on the, I'm thinking about it. It might be the data transfer part of it.
Probably.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, I've got this information and then I've got to send it out of the EU for processing. Or something, but that might not be good.
Does that mean no AI would work in the EU under those?
Well, they have to have their own, farm or data center. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All this is just the latest salvo in their feud.
Yep.
I think. So we'll see what happens when they release all of this stuff in the fall. You know what transpires with the EU by then.
Mm-hmm,
we'll have
mm-hmm.
to see. All right. We'll get to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. So check it out. Check out our page, actually. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Subscribe, become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You do make this show possible. All thank right. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much. What do you like this week, Vincent?
Yeah, so I've got a son heading off to college this fall. And
my condolences.
To my wallet.
Yes, that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Yeah, so I went and checked out the education store. So Apple does have an education store, and they're actually highlighting it on their homepage now. It's apple.com/us-edu for the U.S. store, I guess. But you cannot access this store on the Apple iPhone app. You can't access the education store, which is kind of weird. But you can go there, and they're running a few promos right now. You can get up to $150 gift card, depending on what you're purchasing, which I just received, which is great.
Nice.
For the device I bought. And they also have $100 off on the iPad, I believe. And not only that, for students. And it's actually not just students. It's students, parents of students. It's for teachers and educators. So right. if you happen to be within those any of those categories, you can purchase off the education store there. You don't have to provide an ID or anything like that. I don't think it verifies, your status. Apple can take the $100 hit in terms of the discount, I'm sure, on some of their devices.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. On top of that, they give you 20% off of Apple Care Plus, which is great. And then they have a music student plan with free Apple TV as well.
Nice.
And there's an app bundle for $199 that you can buy with like Final Cut Pro and all the other stuff that's associated with it. So there's a lot of really good things that they've packed into the student version. And with the $100 gift card, I added in the Apple Pencil Pro. Oh, well, now you know. I bought an iPad.
So, yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it doesn't really work without it.
Right. So So that's what's heading to college, along with a 12-month plan to pay it off.
Right.
So it's a. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, just to kind of wrap up, that was my thing that I liked this week in terms of being able to save some cash, but also get the latest and greatest.
Were Apple Watches listed on there?
Yes, they are. I don't know what you use it for education, but yeah, it's there.
Well, same with the Apple TV. It's kind of anti-education.
Yeah, kind of wake you up in the mornings. I don't know.
Yeah,
that'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it could. That's something Apple's done a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I remember going back to one of the first Macs I ever bought, the SE. Obviously, it wasn't online at the time. There was no online for that. But they had, through different colleges, they had an Apple store in the bookstore.
Right.
And you could buy discounted items that way. And that's how I got my first Mac, was through one of those discounts.
The software was ridiculous. That was where you would go and buy software. You'd get $5 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge discount.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I noticed when I worked retail at Apple, they have a completely different store for employees online with discounts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like their in-house store.
Mm.
And where you can get things at quite a discount as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they run several different programs, but that's great to see they're still doing the education thing.
I wonder if they can get a Vision Pro.
Yeah, there you go. Get a discount. It's still too expensive. Did they require you to show any proof of?
No.
Really?
Okay. No, it's weird. I was expecting that once I logged in or signed it's nothing. I got nothing.
We used to, at the store working the retail. Again, this goes back to 2007, right? Long time ago. When people would come in to buy something through that discount, they had to bring proof.
Yeah, an ID or something.
An ID or an application acceptance or something.
Yeah.
Or an ID from the school or whatever.
Maybe later. I don't know. Maybe they're going to reach out. But I wasn't sure, when I was checking out, whether or not I should have signed in as his Apple ID account.
Oh.
and then have it sit on my card, but through his account.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. I'm like, whatever. Then I read the fine print. It was like, oh, it's okay for parents. I'm like, all right.
Nice.
So it's whomever. Hey, I'm just scrolling through this thing. Have we talked about the Pride Edition braided solo loop? This thing looks great.
No, have not.
Oh, wow. It's like $99. It's on the store.
Nice. I have to, I've never actually had a solo loop.
Yeah.
Band, because it never fit me.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't been to an Apple store in forever. If I ever get time, if I'm ever in an Apple store, I want to get fitted for one.
Yeah, that's true.
And that way I know what the size actually should be before I could try those out. But that actually kind of ties into what I like this week. So what I like this week are some new bands. It's from a company called Nava Bands, NAVA. And you can find them at, I think it's nava-bands.com. If you want to have a look at those. I think I saw these on Facebook originally. And I usually kind of dismiss those ads pretty quickly, but these bands look pretty good. And they're a little different than what I've seen before. They have a band. It's called the Mango Loop, which is similar to the Apple Leather Link, but it's not as bumpy, right, with all the links. It's a little smoother surface, but you can still see the lines where the links kind of are. And it's much thinner. And so it has a lot nice lighter feel to it. It's made of hypoallergenic silicone. So it's like a flubber thing. Mm-hmm. I got two of those. One in a semi-dark gray with an action orange. They call it burnt fire, but it's basically action orange on the inside of it. So it's like a dual color band. And they don't really mention it, but I was able to make this band reversible.
Oh, I was just going to say
that. I used it on both sides. Now, yeah. I've tried that in the past with different bands, and they don't really click into place that way, right? Mm-hmm. This one seemed to work pretty good. So I'll have to try it a little bit more, but it's kind of like getting two bands in one. And the other one that I got in that style was called Blue Charcoal, and it has black on the inside. So two of those. My only knock against these is I wish the magnet was a little bit stronger. Mm. Don't get me wrong. It does hold just fine, but I think it could be a little bit stronger. I had this kind of fear of catching it on something and it lets loose, right? But, it still works very well. I'm just used to stronger magnets on the other, like on Apple stuff. Because so far I've been wearing it. It's been fine. Go for runs with it in the pool, all that kind of stuff. Nothing coming off. It's been fine.
That's good to know. I was going to say water sports.
Yes, exactly. But of course I didn't stop there. I also got two other bands. This is a style they call Altitude Loop. And these are a stretch fabric or nylon mesh. Very comfortable. And it has an adjustable buckle. So it's sort of like the solo loop we were just talking about, but it's adjustable to any size. So once you adjust it, you just pull it on and off like you would a solo loop.
Yeah.
And I got one of those in orange flame color and a beige white. So I got two of those.
Yeah.
Those are really nice. They're on sale. And I think the sale's currently going on. It's $27.99 each. And the Mango Loop were $33.99 each. Mm-hmm. So again, check it out at nava-bands.com. I'll put a link in the show notes for you. I like these. Really nice for new summer look.
The Altitude Loop looks like the Spigen one that I wear on as a daily. It's pretty nice. It's a pretty cool thing. You can tighten that loop.
And if you look through all of their things, they have one that is very much like the Alpine Loop of Apple. It's called Voyager Loop. Mm. They have one that is very, very similar to the leather link called Magnus Loop. They have a Mariner Loop, which is just like the Ocean Band. So they've kind of recreated some of those looks, but they have some other ones here that Apple doesn't do in style. That's why I like those two. It's something Apple doesn't offer.
Yeah, the travel look. Loops looks interesting. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Or just Velcro. Yeah, they're all pretty good. So that's a new company. Probably not a new company, but I just discovered them, so.
Yeah, you went straight to their site. That's not on Amazon or anything like that, right?
Yeah, I got it straight from the site. Mm-hmm. It took a little longer for delivery, but I'm not sure where it's coming from. Mm. But it took a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, I think, to get it.
Should ask them to send some samples.
Yeah, there you go.
For their friends.
Yes. They have a flex woven loop that looks like the solo braided, but it again has a clasp in the back. It looks like is adjustable. Mm-hmm. Might try that one out too.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very nice.
Nava, NAVA, not Navi, like right. The avatar people. Okay.
Correct. That would be nothing but blue bands. anything else before we seem to forget every year one very good reason not to download the betas, and that is terrible battery life.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. Yes. Exactly that.
Battery Next life. Time, yeah. Remind me before I do the beta. I am charging this watch almost twice a day some days.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it didn't
This is
first.
The Ultra, too. So you're, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I use it for, like, I go for a run in the morning and I use it at night for sleep, yeah, I'm burning through it that pretty good. And I normally wouldn't do that. And at first it didn't do that. And then all of a sudden it's just gotten worse. So
wow.
I'm waiting for the next update.
Need a new battery. So, there you go.
Yeah. Phone doing it too, by the way. Killing the battery life on the phone. So again, this is developer beta one. This is something.
Thanks for your service.
Most people should not do, but remind me of that next time. Okay. I always forget. It's like, oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there someone's got to test this stuff.
That's true. And there are some weird things that happen. And I just like, just restart it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. Check it out again at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website. It's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you like. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.